If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, starting with verse 27 and reading through verse 30. It says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me." Living like a Christian. Philip Yancey, a well-known Christian writer, categorizes Christians into two sets: Christian entertainers and Christian servants. Now, the Christian entertainer, Yancey says, are those musicians, actors, writers, speakers, and comedians who fill our periodicals, who dominate our seminars, and who are on the television screen. They have fame, prestige, and money. But then on the other hand, the Christian servant, they're rarely in the spotlight. They toil unnoticed in remote places. They work for low pay, long hours, and no applause, and their talents and skills are given to help those that are poor and needy. And yet somehow, in the process of all of this, of losing their lives, they found them and attained rewards that the rich and famous have never experienced. Now, this categorizing of Christians into two categories, two groups, I think is a very interesting situation, and it brings up an interesting question. What does it really mean? What does it really mean this morning to be a Christian? What does it really mean to live like the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to live like a Christian is supposed to live? Are we to be entertainers, or are we to be servants? Paul gave the answer to that question in our text that we want to consider this morning. In the King James, it says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Now, literally, this word citizenship is a Greek word that means not conversation, but it means citizenship, and it relates to our conduct. It refers to a conduct, if you will, which is our duty as a member of a certain group. And as Christians, we know that we're citizens in the kingdom of Almighty God. And as members of his kingdom, as citizens there, God expects us to be faithful, and there's a certain duty that we have to the group. Now, what is our duty? What is our obligations to members of the kingdom of God? Paul declares, and I think this is tremendous, he says, "Only conduct yourself in a manner that is worthy of the gospel." Now, this word "worthy of" actually means of equal weight. And the picture here, a word picture, is that of an old-time scale. And there's the crossbars, and then at the end of each of those crossbars, there is a cup. And on one end of the cup is the gospel and all that it stands for. On the other end of the cup is the Christian life, our life, the way that we live, and the way that we conduct ourselves should be of equal weight to the expectations of the gospel. In other words, God said, "This is what I expect of you, and this is what we're to do." And you say, "I am and I will do, Lord, what you want out of my life." Well, what does it mean to conduct our lives in a manner that is worthy of the gospel. Now, I know that all of us want God to be proud of us. All of us want God to be pleased, and we want him to say like he did of Job of old, "This is my servant in whom I am well pleased." So I know we want that. But how are we to live? First of all, he tells us in verse 27, we're to live with tenacity. Now, Paul told the Philippians that they were living like Christians when they were standing firm in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this word standing firm means tenacity or perseverance. Kind of reminds me of this 104-year-old man who was being interviewed by a newspaper reporter. And he asked him the question, "How in the world did you do it?" The reporter asked the centurion that question, and he answered, "I ate the right food. I got plenty of sleep each night, didn't fool around, and I never indulged in alcohol, smokes, or chews." The reporter replied, "I had an uncle, and he lived like that, but he died at 55. Can you explain that to me?" "Sure," the old man said, "he just didn't keep it up long enough." What is most important about our Christian life is not just what we do, but how long we do it. You see, the failure in most Christians comes not because they don't do the right thing. And a lot of times we do it when we're young, a young man, a young lady, but we don't keep it up. Being a Christian does not just mean serving Christ when we're young. It means serving the Lord Jesus Christ all of your life. It means serving him when everything goes wrong. And there are always times in our life that things just don't go right. And I wished I could understand that. You know, why things that are bad happen to good people, but they do. And God tells us we're not to quit, we're not to get discouraged, and we're not to throw in the towel, we're not to let down. And then keeping it up. You know, you like to see somebody that gets saved as a young person and lives all of their life for the Lord, and it just keeps getting sweeter as the days go by, and they love the Lord more now than they've ever loved him before. And that's the way it ought to be. Don't quit. Don't give up. You know, go all the way to the end. Be strong. Finish strong. How can we live with tenacity? Well, Paul said we are to stand firm in one spirit. Now, members of the church are fused together. In other words, we do not have to stand firm alone. That's why identifying with a local church, joining a church, getting involved in that church is so important. We need one another. We are an encouragement to one another, a strength to one another. We lean on one another. God help us that we'll all be a part, an active part of the body of Christ, the church. It's for the church that the Lord is coming back one day. Good news is we don't stand alone as a Christian. And then we don't stand alone. We're to stand firm when criticism comes. Have you ever heard of a preacher by the name of Charles Simeon? Probably not, because he was born over 200 years ago. And while a student at Cambridge University in England, he was preparing for the ministry. One day he walked past the Holy Trinity Church in the heart of the university campus, and he said to himself, "What a thrill it would be if God would call me to that church where I can preach the gospel in the midst of the university campus." In 1782, God answered his prayer, and he became the church's pastor. However, at first he was confronted with the most violent opposition, the seat holders. Now, aren't you glad we don't have seat holders in this day and time? But anyway, the seat holders boycotted the services and locked the doors to their pews. As a result, for more than 10 years, the congregation had to stand every Sunday during the entire worship service. Simeon persevered and gradually won the respect of the congregational leaders, and for 55 years he was pastor of that church, proclaiming God's word because he stood firm when criticism came. Think about your life. Is somebody critical of you? I don't know how they could be. But is somebody critical of you? Does somebody say bad things about you? Are you going through some difficult times in your life because of criticism and opposition? Well, what do you do when criticism comes? Paul said, don't give up, stand firm. It just lets you know you're a Christian. It just lets you know the devil is out after you, and if he already had you, he'd leave you alone. So what a blessing it is, even when we have opposition. And then when disaster comes, we are to stand firm. The name Lee Iacocca became a household word in America a number of years ago when he got in some difficulties. After 32 years with the Ford Motor Company, and after 8 years as president of Ford, they fired him. At the age of 54, he went to his new office in a warehouse far removed from the luxury of his executive suite at Ford, and that could have been the end of Lee Iacocca, but it wasn't. Today we know him as the man that almost single-handedly turned Chrysler around to where it became a tremendous story of success. Why? Because he stood firm when disaster came. What do you do when disaster comes in your life? And I'm here to tell you, every one of you have had disasters. And if you haven't, you're going to. You see, you can just mark it down, things that you don't expect, things that maybe you don't even deserve, but they come your way. And we need to know that we're to live strong and be firm even when it seems like the whole world is crumbling under our feet. Because our God will give us strength to overcome. What do? You stand firm, you double down. Well, what do when failure comes? A little boy asked his dad to come outside and watch him hit the ball. The boy tossed up the ball the first time, and he swung at it and missed the ball. Strike one, he said. He tried it again, missed the ball. He mumbled, strike two. He tossed it up the third time, and he swung at it, and he missed the ball. He said, Dad, boy, I didn't know how good a pitcher I was. What do when you failed? You don't give up. You hang in there. Have you ever failed? Have you ever faltered? Have you ever been down? Do you not realize our God is the God of the second chance? You know, he just blesses us and strengthens us. And when we're down, he doesn't desert us and he doesn't kick us on down. He'll pick us up if we'll ask him. He's the God of the second chance. Then we're to live with harmony. Paul also told the Philippians they were living like Christians when they were with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now the Greek word means striving together is a word from the field of athletics. And it literally pictures or means wrestling together or wrestling in harmony. Now, something that we can relate to today is like a football team. Now, there are 11 men out on the football field at one time. On offense, the running back, he has a good day. He runs for over 200 yards. And now he knows, in fact, in the pros, you'll hear a lot of time that the running back will take out those big behemoths on the line and take them out and feed them a big meal, a big steak, because they did so good. He knows that it takes those big guys up front to knock a hole. It takes that fullback going and pinning the linebacker, and then it takes the tight end and the wide receivers going out and taking care of the corners and the safety. He knows that the reason he had a good day is because he had 10 other folks up there doing the job, and it made his job a whole lot easier. Well, the Christian life is one of activity. It's a life of commitment. We're not just to stand firm. We're not just to hold our ground, but we're to move out and go on the offensive. You see, God did not intend for us to take the blood-stained banner of Christ and cower down in the trenches. He wants us to get up and get out and go to work and tell folks out in the darkness of sin that there's light. And that light can come into their heart and life if they'll receive the Lord Jesus Christ. In the church today, and I'm talking about the church world, we have become so judgmental of each other that we have almost destroyed our harmony. When we judge other Christians, it's usually not because that they're bad. It's because they're different. Because they're different. Aren't you glad we're different, you know? Aren't you glad we don't all look alike? You know, I started to pick somebody you wouldn't want to look like him. I thought, well, I'd be in real trouble if I did. But aren't you glad that we're different? Aren't you glad some folks can sing? And aren't you glad some can teach? And aren't you glad that folks just have different talents and abilities, and God puts us all together in a church and he makes the church what it ought to be? What a blessing to live in harmony. We need to realize today that God made us all different, and he made preachers, and he made teachers, and he made workers in the church and lay people in the church. He put us all in there with other churches that we might have unity. I'm telling you, we're not the only ones going to heaven. And I'm glad of that, because we'd be a small little group up there. But I'm glad that there are other people around the world, other churches that are working hard, and they're doing what we're doing, and we need to work together in order to accomplish God's perfect will down here. Kind of reminds me of a number of years ago, Jimmy Durante, who was a comedian, was asked to be a part of a show for some World War II veterans. Although his schedule was busy, he agreed to do a short monologue and then go on to his next appointment. When Jimmy went on the stage that night, he finished his first monologue and then started another. Well, the applause grew louder and louder as he did one monologue after another. Finally, after a long time, he took his last bow and he left the stage, and someone stopped him backstage and said, "I thought you had to go after a few minutes. What happened?" Durante answered this, "I did have to go. But I can show you the reason I stayed." And he pointed to the front row, where two men were seated next to each other, each of whom had lost an arm in the service. One had lost a right arm, the other had lost his left. Together they were able to clap and to applaud and to cry out their approval. And he said, "That's the reason why I stayed." What a picture for the church to emulate. You see, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be ultra talented. We just have to be faithful. Just be faithful. You know, summer is just about coming to an end. And let me say this. We ought to get more faithful. You know, and I know I'm going to meddle a little bit, but indulge me. You know, on Sunday morning, we'll have almost 100. Sunday night, we have almost 50. And then on Wednesday night, we'll have 40 to 50. We ought to be faithful. Amen. You know, we ought to just come to church. We ought to want to come to church. Amen. I enjoy coming to the house of God, and it's a blessing. We need to pick it up and we need to reach out and not just be concerned about ourselves only, but we need to look outside. Outside the four walls of this church, there are folks out there going to hell. And if we don't tell them, if we don't try to get them in, and you've got to do the main job of getting folks in because you know them. I want to encourage you, be faithful. Summer's about over. It's time to kind of rekindle, refurbish, and get going again. We need to just get the job done. Get the job done. A Christian who courageously faces opposition is a living testimony to the world of the ultimate outcome of things. At times, the wicked seem to prosper and the righteous seem to suffer. Have you ever thought that? Had that ever crossed your mind? Well, the psalmist in Psalm 73 dealt with that problem just like we do today. He was so perplexed by the prosperity of the wicked. The wicked seemed to be carefree and confident, apparently blessed with a life of abundance. And on the other hand, the psalmist was confronted by misunderstandings and disasters, and it confused him, and he was uncertain about life. But when he went to the church, when he went to the temple of God, he understood that the prosperity of the wicked was temporary. Now, I want to tell you, if all the wicked, if all that they have is money and possessions and worldly goods, they're going to leave it all behind. They're going to leave it all behind. They will not take it with them. On the other hand, the temporary difficulties that the righteous are facing today will be replaced by eternal glory. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news to know that, hey, we're going through some tough times down here, and I'm here to tell you, all of us, and I know something about your lives, and I know many of you have gone through some tough times lately. But I know our God is sufficient. I know that He will see us all the way through, and He's not going to let us go through hard times. Do you realize that maybe going through those difficult times is He is putting us through the fire to purify us, polish us up, and make us a more fitting vessel meet for the Master's use. You see, I'm here to tell you this morning that while we're going through some difficult times down here, one of these days He's going to say, well done. One of these days He's going to take us home. One of these days we'll be reunited with all of our loved ones in heaven, and that will be a great day. But most of all, we'll see Jesus who died for us. And then live with courage. He is our protection. This confidence is not confidence in self, but it's God confidence. I'm confident God can take care of all my needs. I don't know what all I'm going to need, but I know He does, and He has the omnipotent power in order to meet those needs. God's provisions are always more than adequate. They're better than our provisions. The story of the little boy that went to store with his daddy into town to buy some supplies in the store. The boy stood quietly as the father picked up all the things that he needed. And as they left, the proprietor said to the boy, "You've been so good. Why don't you just reach your hand into that candy jar and get a handful of candy?" Well, the little boy said nothing. He just stood there. Finally, the proprietor reached his big hand into that jar and gave this boy a handful of candy. On the way home, the father asked him, said, "Son, why didn't you reach into that jar and get that candy yourself? I've never known you to be shy." To which the boy replied, "Oh, Daddy, I wasn't shy. I just knew that his hand was bigger than my hand." Well, God's hand is always bigger than our hand, isn't it? Always bigger than our hand. And whatever you need, He's there. You know what? I was listening to Fox News one day this week, and It talked about our guided missile system, that they could literally put it through a window. You know, that's amazing to me. Well, I'm going to tell you about God's guided missile system. It's even better than that. You remember when David came up against Goliath, had five smooth stones in his pouch he just picked up in the brook. He put one of them in that slingshot, came up against this 9.5 foot tall giant of a man, had his armor on, had his shield, had his sword, had his spear. I mean, he was ready to go. David comes out and said, "You've defied the name of the living God of Israel. And this day, God's going to give me victory over your life." He took that old slingshot. And, you know, he had used it before. He was no novice. He turned it loose. But I believe that day, God directed that missile to where it hit exactly where it was supposed to hit. It knocked him down cold as a wedge. He took the sword and cut off his head. God gave the victory. You see, I'm convinced that if we'll stand firm, live with courage, God will give us victory. He'll help us to overcome any obstacle. And all of this is a sign or a proof, both to Christian and non-Christian alike, that our adversaries are on the road to destruction and we're on the road to salvation. And then live with submission. A Christian also displays submission. Paul said, For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now the Philippians had heard of Paul's sufferings in Rome, and they had heard about his sufferings early in his travels. Now keep in mind, Paul knew what it was to be put in jail, you know. He knew what it was to be beaten on the back with the cat of nine tails. He knew what it was to be stoned. He knew what it was to be shipwrecked. He knew what it was to be bitten by a viper. He knew what it was to be in the deep. And Paul, being a great servant of the Lord, gave us the example. And he tells us that what has happened to me will also happen to you. You're going to suffer. If you're going to be a Christian this morning, you just mark it down. There'll be some suffering in your life. But you mark it down in the midst of all the sufferings and the difficulties that you face. My God is able, and he'll see you through. You know, when I stop and I think about the price that Christ paid on the cross of Calvary, and when I visualize in my mind's eye how they beat him and maimed him, and yet he did not utter a word in his defense. And I go through a few bad things being said about me or somebody doing something that they shouldn't do against me or you. I just think, I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I want to live for my Lord because I know I'm passing through. This is not my long home, and no matter what I go through, it's not even close to what he went through, and we're followers of his, and I want to be faithful all the way to the end, don't you? I want to keep on going, you know, and when I get my new knee, well, I'll go better, you know, but I want to keep on going. I don't want to quit, do you? I want to make it all the way to the promised land. Yeah. Justine, you may have to take care of me up there. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the joy and the privilege of being your child. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, that eternal life is ours because we accepted you as personal Savior. And Lord, we know that we're going to face some obstacles in life, but Lord, we're to take courage and to have hope, stand firm, because we know that you're able to see us through. You're omnipotent. And I pray, God, that we'll rely upon you and trust you to do just that. Lord, if there's one here this morning that is not a Christian, Lord, help them to come today to this altar, take this pastor by the hand and say, "Preacher, I want to give my life to the Lord." And Lord, if there's one that needs a closer walk with you, I pray that you will help them to step out and come this morning and on bended knees say, Lord, cleanse me, make me the vessel of honor that you want me to be. Now, I know, Lord, that's all it takes. And I pray that you will help those that need to come, that they will come this morning, and that they'll take care of business with you and leave here thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly right with you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with us, if you will.